We can turn back now to the Word of God and to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, and we can take as our text chapter 2 and verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field, and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. At the beginning of this book, we are told of the removal of a family from Bethlehem, Judah, down to a place called Moab. And we are also told the reason why they moved. It was because of a famine in their own land that Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, moved from Bethlehem, Judah, down to Moab. They sought to escape a famine in their own land, which was God's judgment upon them for their sins. And in seeking to escape God's judgment upon them, the consequences were even more devastating for them, as we shall see. Now, the times in which Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons lived were very bad times indeed. It was not easy trying to be a Christian in these days. We are told in chapter 1 and in verse 1, It was in the days when the judges ruled. And these were very difficult days indeed. And certainly it was one of the lowest points in the history of Israel, when the vast majority, we are told in the book of Judges, did what was right in their own eyes. So it wasn't an easy time to be a Christian at all. And these times are sharply contrasted with the end of the book of Joshua, where we know that the people of God had entered into the promised land and were now at rest from war and enjoying the blessing of the Lord upon them. Now, we've just got two very brief points here this New Year's Day. And the first point we have is the old life, and the second point is a new beginning. A new beginning. First of all, then, the old life. Ruth and Orpah, as you know, they came from the land of Moab. Now, whether these two young ladies knew each other before or not, we just are not told. But they came to know each other through becoming a part of the family of Elimelech and Naomi. Because their two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, married these two girls. Mahlon married Ruth, and Chilion married Orpah. And these two marriages took place down in the land of Moab, where Elimelech and Naomi escaped away to when there was famine in their own land. And in the first chapter we read that they were down there for a period of 10 years. Now, the decision to move to Moab was a very unusual one indeed. After all, Moab was an idolatrous country, and it was full of immorality. Surely the best place for Elimelech and Naomi, who were undoubtedly saints, people of God, surely the best place for them to be, and for us to be, is in the will of God, rather than trying to escape the will of God. The consequences of their decision to go there, to this country called Moab, and to live there, led to the death of Elimelech and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. So that all that was left of this family now was Naomi, Elimelech's wife, and her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. But you'll notice in chapter 1 that whilst they are down there, and in chapter 1 and verse 6, in chapter 1, verse 6, Naomi wants to return to her homeland. She has heard now, she has heard that the Lord has visited her own land, the land of Bethlehem, with bread. The Lord has visited them with bread. Now, you'll notice also that it's not the Lord himself who has told Naomi that he has visited her people in Bethlehem with bread. She has heard it. It's been reported to her by someone. And you'll notice also that when they come to leave Moab, as they go a certain distance, she turns to them both and tries to persuade them to return to their own land, to the land of Moab, this idolatrous land, this land full of immorality. Now, it's quite probable from that at this time, Naomi herself was in a backslidden state. Surely, if a Christian, as Naomi was in her right place, surely she would not want them to return to their former idolatry, to return that land where there was no knowledge of the God of Israel. Surely she should have wanted and desired that they would both come with her. Come with her to Bethlehem, Judah, where the God of Israel was so well known. So it's probable that Naomi at this time was backslidden herself. But nevertheless, these two young ladies who have been widowed now, they're put to a test by Naomi. They're put to a test. And the Lord's people are very often put to various tests. You remember how the Saviour put his own disciples to a test in the Gospel of John chapter 6. You remember the whole narrative speaks about Christ being the bread of life. And as he's speaking to the whole multitude of the people in front of him, he says that they must, in order to live, that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. You remember that? John chapter 6. And to the vast majority of his followers, we read that this was an hard saying to them, and then that they followed him no more. So he turns then to his own 12 disciples, and he says to them, "Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away?" That was a test for them. And it was a test that led to a separation on that occasion. And here also, Naomi puts her two daughters-in-law to a test. She puts them to a test, and it leads to a separation. In verses 14 and 15 of chapter 1, we read that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and she went back. She kissed her mother-in-law. Verses 13, 14 and 15. Take these three verses together. You'll notice she kisses her mother-in-law, whom she loved very much indeed, and whom she greatly respected. But then we read of another, Ruth. She clave unto her mother-in-law. She clave unto her mother-in-law. Not only kissed, but clave unto her. Orpah returns to the darkness of her own land, to the land of her nativity, to Moab, and to the worship of the false gods of Moab. But you notice here in chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15 that Ruth is determined to go with her to the land where the God of Israel is so well known. And we read that she cleaves unto Naomi. Now that's the cleaving of faith. "Entreat me not to leave thee," she says, "nor from following after thee." In other words, she wants to go with Naomi back to her land and to her people and to worship her God. So there was a separation took place between these two daughters-in-law. Orpah, yes, she had natural ties for her mother-in-law, Naomi, but she didn't have this cleaving of faith. No matter how much Naomi would try to persuade Ruth to return to Moab, Ruth would not have it, because there was more in this relationship between Ruth and Naomi than merely earthly ties. There was the tie of both of them believing truly and savingly in the Lord God of Israel. There was the tie of faith in trusting in the God of Israel. And on account of that, there was a bond between Naomi and Ruth, as there is between all the people of God, through trusting in Christ. And in verse 18 of chapter 1, we read that Ruth was steadfastly moved, or minded, steadfastly minded to go with Naomi. Ruth didn't just cleave unto Naomi by faith, but she cleaves unto the Lord of Naomi
by faith.
But where did Ruth get this faith from? Where did she get this faith from? Is faith something that we always have? Saving faith? Is it there within our own souls that all we need to do is just exercise it when we feel like it? Has she always had faith? Not at all. You know, as a believer here today, that there was a time when you did not have saving faith. You know that. Did she have it from a young child, like Timothy? Paul's son in the faith, of whom we read that from a child he knew the scriptures? We cannot say that of Ruth, coming from the land of Moab, which was a heathen land. She knew very little, or possibly even nothing, about the God of Israel before she came into contact with his family, Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, and their two sons. But as a result of marrying into the family, she began to be taught in the home and to learn and to hear about the true God, the God of Israel. She had never heard anything like what she was hearing now in this family that she marries into. You know, Elimelech's name means "My God is Savior." My God is Savior. And he would have been teaching his own sons about the God of Israel. And they would have been teaching Ruth and Orpah about the God of Israel, and that there is salvation in him, and that we are sinful, fallen, ruined, hell-deserving creatures who need to be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. They would have been hearing all that in this home through marrying into this family. And they would have been encouraged by Elimelech and Naomi too, to seek your own soul salvation in and through the God of Israel. But what about Orpah? Was she not told the same things? Yes, indeed she was. She would have learned the same truths too. But Ruth was the one in whom saving faith came to be wrought within her soul. The Holy Spirit working faith in her heart as she hears these great truths and teachings from her father-in-law, Elimelech. As she heard the word of God from her godly father-in-law, Elimelech, whose name means "My God is King," she was brought to trust in him as her own Savior. And she turns her back, steadfastly minded. In other words, she's completely assured in her own mind whom she is going to live for and whom she is going to serve. It's the God of Israel. And she turns her back on the darkness and the idolatry and all, and on her old companions that she knew down there, and on her own loved ones who were still in their idolatry down there in Moab. And she comes to trust for everlasting salvation in the God of Israel. She trusts in him, no matter what obstacles lay in her way, and there were plenty. Think of it, just for a minute here. Think of it. The kind of obstacles that lay in her way. She's coming from the land of Moab, and she's going to Bethlehem, Judah. How would you feel going to a foreign country? How would you and I feel going to a foreign country on our own? On our own with just one other person with us. We would feel isolated. We would feel strange. We would feel as if the locals are actually avoiding us. There's all kinds of obstacles and things going through Ruth's mind at this moment. But nevertheless, she's trusting in the God of Israel to help her. To help her. And she's going there with her mother-in-law, Naomi, whose name means pleasant. She's got that support. She's got one of God's people with her on her way to take her into that foreign land. But there's many things, many obstacles to overcome when someone leaves their own land and takes up residence in a new country, and particularly for someone to come from a land as Moab was, who were constant enemies of the people of God and the Israelites down through the history of the church. When she told the locals, when Naomi told the locals that this Ruth was from Moab, I don't suppose they would be too impressed. But nevertheless, she's prepared to go, trusting in the Lord. So she comes to faith in the God of Israel. That's our first point. And that's the most important thing, that she cleaves to the Lord by faith. Faith is a cleaving, a laying hold, and a trusting in the God of Israel. Come what may, come what may. Though I cannot do it, he can help me to do it, whatever it is. But secondly here, and very briefly, we've got a new beginning. A new beginning. First of all, the old life, and then there's a new beginning. Chapter 2 begins with Ruth asking Naomi's permission to go and to glean in the fields. Chapter 2 and verse 2. You'll notice at the end of chapter 1, it's the beginning of barley harvest. And we read these interesting words in verse 3 of chapter 2. That Ruth's hap was to glean in a part of the field belonging to Boaz. Ruth's hap was to glean in a field belonging, in a part of the field belonging to Boaz. So that this whole incident took place or happened through the providence of God. The word hap there just means it happened. Or it happened to be the case that Ruth started to work in a part of the field belonging to this man called Boaz. Now, this is the first introduction we have to this man called Boaz. And it was no accident. And it wasn't by chance that she happened to start working in this field belonging to this man called Boaz. It was all in the providence of God. Let me go, she says, to the field in whose sight I shall find grace. Chapter 2, verse 2. Here's this poor young lady, called Ruth, coming from this foreign land, Moab, a land that is for the most part at enmity against the people of God. And she's a stranger coming to the land of Judah. And she sees that the thing that she needs most of all in this new land is for someone to show her grace. Someone to show her some grace. Let me go to the field in whose sight I shall find grace. Chapter 2, verse 2. And Boaz, who owns the field that she begins to start working in, is the one, is just the man to show her that grace. Just the man to show her that grace. Now, the word grace, grace can refer to two things. It can refer to God's dealings with men, and it can also, as it does here in chapter 2, verse 2, refer to men's dealings with one another. And you know that grace means favour. Grace means favour. So that this favour comes to Ruth through this man called Boaz. And how comforting it is when you and I supposedly accidentally meet other Christians in other places, in other communities, in Uigan Skye, in Broadford and Skye, and throughout our islands and throughout our nations in the world. Because very often, we tend to think that we alone are here and there is no one else. Sometimes we can just subconsciously get into that idea that we are all alone, but we're not. We might be few, but we're not alone. And it was comforting for Ruth and for Boaz to find that there were others like-minded, like themselves. That Ruth found Boaz, and Boaz found Ruth. Paul tells us, writing to the Romans, chapter 11, and verse 5, that although the people of God are only few, he says, even at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is a remnant. There is always a remnant. They might be small, but yet they are still there. And that's comforting for you and for me at the beginning of this new year. Yes, we're small. The church seems small, but we are not alone. And that was a great comfort to Ruth. That was a great comfort to Ruth. Poor stranger as she was, coming from a foreign land whose people were against the people of God. And it ought to encourage us and comfort us too that the Lord has his people still. Even in the days in which we live, dark as these days are, dark as these days are, a remnant who are steadfastly minded, as Ruth was here, chapter 1, verse 18. And going into this new year, let us be encouraged. Let us be encouraged to remain steadfastly minded ourselves. Steadfastly minded to follow the Lord. But this man Boaz He's also a type of Christ. He's also a very prominent type of Christ. Look at what it says about him in chapter 2 and verse 1. He's a mighty man of wealth. He's a mighty man of wealth. Now that's clearly pointing to Christ himself, who is a mighty man of wealth. Paul again tells us, writing to the Ephesians, of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And just as Boaz shows favour or grace to Ruth, so does the Lord Jesus Christ show favour, undeserved favour, to sinners of mankind. To bankrupt and ruined sinners who are strangers and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, who know nothing of the Lord God and his saving power